Pastor Steve. And thank you, Pastor Naomi, for the honour to share today. Noctuli, you're a great mum and dad, haven't you? They're awesome. Those of you that don't know Noctuli, this is Noctuli here in the... You can't miss her. She's got the red jeans on. She was sitting up here. And what you shared, Noctuli, was fantastic. I look forward to seeing what you're going to do with your... What your life is going great now. But how things go for you, that space, in a year, two, three, four, 5 years' time, you're just going to knock your mum and dad out of the park. You're going to stand on their shoulders, girl. You're going to be really remarkable. It's beautiful. You know, Noctuli shares about God's love and his goodness, and yet, you know, she's suffering with a fracture in the leg, with the steel plate in the leg, still hasn't come good. And we don't know why. We pray for her. We're asking God to heal her and make her whole. But she just still continues on loving God, loving Jesus. God hasn't deserted her at all. He's been with her. He's been comforting her. He's been strengthening her. And for her, it's like going through the fire. You're going through the fire. What happens when gold and all other stuff go through the fire? What comes out? Beautiful, precious gold and stones and gems and things like that. So don't give up. And we won't give up as a church. We'll continue to pray for you and for your healing, okay? Good on you. You're an awesome girl. All right. So I've got some photos of my family. I brought all 375 of them. These are my children. And the biggest one there is Jordan. The middle one is my little girl, Brianna. And my son, AJ, doing that. He's the cheeky one. And you can keep scrolling through, guys, because you've got 600 or so. That's in Italy. We were eating gelatos every day. And we were just having an awesome time. Yep, keep going. My beautiful girl there. There's me and my kids. My darling wife is with me, believe me. She's here, sitting here. Yeah, she's taking the photo. Thank you. This is up at Heathcote, where we took some beautiful photos. So they're getting older. Yep. In England, where my daughter now lives. And there we are there with my daughter-in-laws. So this is at my daughter's wedding in London. She married a policeman, and that's who she's standing with there, and that's with the family. The girl in the red is Jardina. She's a children's pastor at Nations Church, and they both serve there. My son Jordan and his wife, she's involved in worship at her church. And there's my little grandbaby she's holding. Have I got one of my granddaughter? Me and her? No? Okay. This is in Sydney, up at the Snowy Mountains. They're a funny lot. They're a beautiful family. Great kids. It's beautiful having a family. Any more? Is that it? Okay. So my older son, he's 31. And when you have a kid, really, you're first. You have no idea what you're doing. You just don't know. I remember when my wife was pregnant, and you're excited. It's awesome. It's good. The only thing I knew what to do was to pray. That's all I knew. Seriously, God help me. But also, when my wife was carrying, I would pray for our child. I would lay hands on her tummy. And I would pray the blessing of God. I would pray the promises of God over my child. And I did that with all three of them. Did it when they were born. I used to go into their rooms at night when they were asleep. And I used to lay hands on them and I used to pray for them. when my with all three of our with all three of our children, Helen had some issues with each one during pregnancy, dehydration, something with the second one. The third one, she bled a lot with. Sienna and the doctor believed, thought that it was had gone, that it had died, and we thought, nah, not taking that. And I remember just getting angry, going, no, this is not going to happen. And I began to pray and say, God, just pray you just breathe life, just bless this child, keep your hand upon this child. And we went to see the guy that does the scanning, and he thought he couldn't hear a heartbeat or anything, but eventually came good, and we have our daughter still with us today. It's fantastic. It's awesome. God is good. See, so I do want to honour all dads today, all fathers, grandfathers, spiritual fathers. You might not have a biological child, but I know many of you are spiritual fathers to girls, to boys, and I congratulate you. To stepfathers, well done. Congratulations to you all. That's awesome. I'd like to read a scripture from Luke chapter 6, verse 48 and 49. Can we do that, please? 48 and 49. So how do we, fatherhood is a big thing. What do we build our life on with fatherhood? What principles are there? It doesn't come with a book when you have a child. Life doesn't come with a book, but we do have a Bible. And there's amazing principles in there for life, for how to live life, how to grow your kids, and how to relate to your children, and also for your children to relate to their dad. And so let's have a look at this. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So this is a basis of building our lives on the Word of God, building our lives on what Jesus teaches through His Word, what the disciples had written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so, fatherhood, who is the best representation of fatherhood? Who do we look to for fatherhood? Well, the only person I can look to is my Heavenly Father God. In the prayer, when they asked, how do we pray? They said, well, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. Our Father. The beautiful thing about that is that He's not just my Father, but He's our Father. He's not exclusive. He's God, our Father, is inclusive. He is our Father. Those of you that believe and walk with Christ, He is your Father. He loves you. Now, regardless of your image of your Father, God the Father is not like that. Okay? You might have had a great dad, and for you, he portrayed a really good image of God the Father. Some people have had fathers that have been harsh, performance orientated, antagonistic, you know. And so, your thinking of God the Father can be quite a different mindset. You can be quite afraid of Him. If you find your dad was harsh, and was very a disciplinarian. You sometimes you can think that God is like that as well. So I want to have a look at our God the Father, at His attributes and what He has for us. He created fatherhood. And one of the things about Him that He wants us to understand is our identity. What is your identity in Him? Pastor Stephen touched on that this morning, you know, and There's this scripture in 1 John. Have you got that up there for me, please? John chapter 1 and verse 12. Have we got that there? Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Whether you feel like it or not is not the point. Whether you feel like it or not, you are his child. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are his child. What have I got here? $20. What else have I got? I really want a 50. Oh, here we go. Here we got a $50 bill. Okay. What's the value of that? $50. Okay. I screw it up. I stomp it on the ground. So what's the value of that now? Who's got a lighter on them? Oh, thank goodness no one smokes. Thank you for saving me $50. So the point is that that value is still $50, regardless of where you've been through and dragged through in life. You are still of great value. Okay, whether you're a believer here today or not, or you're not sure, or you don't know, I want you to know you are of great value. God loves you. You are important to God, and he values you. And when you come and you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you receive him, he gives you the right to be his child. And that comes with a great inheritance, great benefits of being his child. There are beautiful, wonderful benefits in that. What are some of the benefits? Can someone tell me? Give me one. Thank you, Steve. The peace of God. I was 19 years of age when I come to know Jesus, and I did not understand what peace was until then. I thought, you can get peace through other activities. You could. But this peace, the peace that Jesus comes with, is authentic, it's real, it just calms a storm, it calms life, it calms your heart, it's calming, and you just know that everything's okay and that God has you. God has got you. Joy. God comes with joy. There's peace, there's joy. These are the benefits. This is part of our inheritance as Christians, to experience God's joy that he has for us. That's something that we can receive from God and experience that and walk that out in our lives. So identity is really, really important. Okay, that you honestly believe when you receive Jesus in your life, doesn't matter whether it's a windy day the next day or you make a mistake, you swear, because we all, don't you swear? Am I the only one? Oh, I'm the only one. Okay. So when you do something wrong, it's like God doesn't expect you to be perfect, but we just do our best. We live our lives. And when you do make a mistake, we're like, Lord, I'm really sorry. I swore. Forgive me. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Just tell him. Just confess it to him. God just wants you to tell him. I remember I used to hide my sins. I wouldn't confess them. I could sense the burden of guilt and shame. And then one day, I was actually in the shower, and this scripture came to me about confessing your sins, and it was like this light went on in me, and it was like this. It was like, tell God, tell him. He wants to hear it. He wants to bring you freedom from that guilt and that stuff. So then I thought, oh. So I just, Lord, forgive me. Wash me in your precious blood. And this burden, this shame just left. That's our identity that we have in Christ. This is what God has for us. Of course, there's no excuse to go and do the wrong thing. You know, we don't go purposely going about doing the wrong thing and going, oh, Lord, forgive me. That's being a hypocrite. Yeah? He is our perfect Father. He is our Father. One Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says this. This is about our identity as well. But you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people. You have been chosen. You are chosen. How special is that? I mean, God wants the whole world to know him. God wants the whole world to know him. God chooses everyone to come to know him. But God doesn't enforce that. It's our personal will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God gives us a free will to choose him, whether we want to follow him or not. He's not going to force us. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's devoted ones, that you may declare the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The other day I was walking into Port Care and I was just happy walking in. And this guy that I see every week says to me, why are you so happy? Why are you smiling? I go, well, it's Jesus, really, if you want me to be just that. Because I've got Jesus in my life. When I look at the trees and I look at the sky with the train, whatever it is, I just see things differently. I see things brighter. I just see the kindness. I see the goodness of God. So there's a different walk when you come and encounter the living God, the living Jesus Christ. And he impacts you so dramatically that you can't help but just walk that out with him. So you are a chosen people. What's a royal priesthood? What do you mean? A priesthood means, what's a priesthood? Basic means that you have access to God the Father. You can talk to God anytime you like. Whether you're in the, you don't have to come to wait till Sunday morning to be here to pray and have access to God. You can do that at home, in your bed, in the car, in the toilet, wherever you are. You have access to God the Father. These are some beautiful, beautiful attributes of the living God that he has for us. Security. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Look, you might not know them. But just hang in there. Just keep doing what you're doing. Young Rebecca was a child care worker. And she had this inkling in her heart that she wanted to do something different. She kept doing what she's doing. She kept praying. And one day we chatted and she said, yes, I'd love to come and work at Port Care. Now she's at Port Care. And she loves it. She's a fantastic ambassador for Port Care. She's an awesome young woman. Whether you're a hairdresser, wherever you are, just stay where you are. Do what you're doing. Be the best at what you're doing. Be the best at what you're doing. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Things we don't know them all. But that's okay. It's a trust issue. We trust him. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Just wait. Wait. Don't jump. Don't jump. Don't go jumping. Don't jump off the train. Don't go, that's it, I'm going to Pakistan. No, don't do that. Pastor Stephen, you think that's funny? Someone said that to me. I'm going to go to Pakistan and be a missionary. I go, what do you mean? You're not going to Pakistan. Has God called you there? Oh, no. Nah. But I'm going to, no, nah, you're not going. I told him, you're not going. And he's still here today. It's good. He probably would have got, who knows what would have happened to him. Anyway. Jeremiah 29:11, I read that. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Noctul is going through the fire. Noctul is going through that. But she's hanging in there. She just keeps walking, keeps following God, keeps her relationship up with the Lord. She's going to come out pure as gold. In Hebrews, I will never leave you or forsake you. I have seen people in our community and people from our church from years. I've been a Christian for well over 30 years. Where I've been called to people that are sick and dying, and I've seen them to their dying breath, and the Lord has never, ever forsaken them. I'm telling you, God is with them to the very end. It's quite amazing. It's an amazing experience. It's sad, but it's also beautiful. It really is. Now, this one here, talking about God gives you authority. Brother, God gives you authority. Men and women, of course, but men, God has given you authority. Listen to this, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Now, men, can you please, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, get that scripture, put it in your phone and read it and recite it every day. Every day. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We stand up when someone wants to, bully our kids. Hey, what? You're going to lie down? No. I'm not telling you, you don't go taking up arms. But you got to make a stand of some sort, don't you? You've got to make a stand. We've got to be people that make a stand. Sometimes things happen and there is evil in the world and there are spiritual forces that come against our children, our family. And the word says, there's no weapon that is formed against me will prosper. And every tongue that will rise up against me in judgment shall be condemned, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. There's times we have to pray and we have to stand against things. It could be sickness. Don't just accept everything. Rebuke the thing. Come against it. Take your place. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Before that, God said to Joshua, Joshua, you go. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. I'll be with you. I'm with you wherever you go. If God tells you to go into a place or do something, don't be afraid. Now, God affirms us. He continually tells us that He loves us. And this is something that all those points about identity, security, there's one affirmation. There's another point is affirmation. Now, may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with His uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. May the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with superabundance until you radiate with hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. And you do not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, Beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, You are God's beloved child. Now, as fathers, we want to reaffirm that with our children. So God affirms with us, but we need to, as fatherhood, we affirm that with our kids, that we love them, that we're there to, that they're secure with us, that their identity, of course they know the identity of who you are, where you've come from, who your mum and dad's, that history is beautiful, wonderful, but also of our Heavenly Father God. So we need to share that with our children. That needs to flow through our kids because our children need this. I just want to read this. I won't read it because of time. Okay. There's women and boys need their dads. They need their dads. They need the affirmation of their dad. Please don't go thinking the girls, oh, that's the dad's role. That's the mum's role, sorry. Oh, it's the girl. I'm a dad, you know. I can't identify. No. Dads, please hear me. You are very vital and important in the life of your daughter. You need to continually affirm with your children that you love them and that you care for them. It's no good just, oh, I said I loved you 5 years ago. Don't you remember that? No. We need to continually affirm. There's a woman in America, and she was she's a TV host for one of the large TV organizations. Her name is Jenna Borchardt Hager. That's her name. And she was involved in TV, and she got this gig as an anchor, late night TV, and she was so thrilled and so excited. So were all of her friends. We're all excited, her colleagues. But she said, I got this message. And she just had tears. And it was from her dad. And it said, a proud father. It's important for men to love and dote on their girls, to reassure them that you love them and that you're proud of them. Peggy Drexler is a psychologist. She's written a couple of books. I started reading a preview of one and I just couldn't put it down. I'm just going to read this out. Part of this is from Louis Giglio, then I'll go into what Peggy Drexler says. The cultural ramifications of our dad problems are visible everywhere. Widespread anxiety and depression are hitting society hard, especially millennials and Gen Z, according to the U.S. Department of Health. More than 60% of youth suicides happen in a fatherless home. The correlation between anxiety and fatherlessness is hiding in plain sight, in kids and in adults. Self-confidence has been eroded over time, thanks in part to cultural shifts such as the no-fault divorce, which, though well-intentioned, has simply made checking out the family unit and its responsibilities easier than ever before. We're floundering because we don't know the answers to fundamental questions. Who will be there for us? Who's got our back? Who believes in us. We want it to be our Father. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has wounds regarding their dads. Some people have some negative and some positive experiences. But in this article in Psychology Today, research psychologist Dr. Peggy Dressler examined a study that had analyzed 75 high-performing women and their relationship with their fathers. The takeaway, no matter the arena for their success, business or home, every single woman interviewed said she views her wins and losses through the lens of what her father would think of them. Even sometimes when it can be a crappy dad, girls still look to their dads and want some sort of affirmation, which many times they may not get. Like it or not, we all long for a blessing of our father. It's a hunger that we all have within us that will never be satiated, even for children with present, loving, and well-adjusted fathers, because a quest for approval from another flawed human being can never be perfectly completed. The impossibility of perfection does not let dads off the hook. Dads can and should be present. Dads can and should strive for their best. But instead of trying to solve the problem of how to help imperfect dads, the worthy gatekeepers to our own feelings of self-worth, or even trying to figure out how to eradicate the longing for a father's approval altogether, we should ask ourselves what this inborn desire for a father's blessing is trying to tell us. There's more to read, but could I have that picture, the final picture, please? This artwork is by Charlie Mackey, and he's an amazing writer. He wrote the book The Horse. Let me find that. Sorry, guys. Here we go. Charlie Mackey's a British artist, illustrator, and the author of The Boy, the Mole, and the Fox, and The Horse, which won an Academy Award this year for the best short film. So he had this on the wall at his home, and a surveyor came to his home to do, not to do some work, but to consult and take notes and regarding his home. And while he's going through the home, he saw this artwork. And he went downstairs and he said to Charlie Mackey, What is that? That has just touched me. He knew what it was because it was written on the bottom, but he said, that artwork has just moved me, because I have a son who is 9 years of age and I've never hugged him, because I'm just going home. I've got to go find my son and I just want to hug him. Have you hugged your child today? Maybe you're not a huggy person, or get huggy. Get huggy. If you want to experience a hug, come and see me. I'm huggy. I'm passionate. It's really important that you hug your daughter, you hug your son. It is just so good. Let's do that. Let's be good fathers. Let's represent our Father God the best way that we know how. Every son and a daughter, they need to know their identity. They need to know that they are secure. They need to know that they are affirmed and that they're loved by you.